Well, the first thing I would like for you all to notice is the title of tonight's sharing, which I simply stated, it's the facts for God and the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. If anyone resorts to guessing, and this is going to be me preaching to the choir, so just enjoy it, because there may be somebody listening who really doesn't have clarity on this subject, but we're going to cover it. So if anyone resorts to guessing that Jesus is God, then we're going to look at God's word to receive clarity without the guesswork. Such as in songs. And I look at many, many songs. It's something I like to do. But I see songs where Jesus is God and God is Jesus. Mistakenly so. Even religion mixes it up and gets it wrong. Movies, you see God and Jesus being lumped into the same mold. And, of course, now that we have the internet, you'll see it rampant on that. Why? Why is that? When they can go to God's word and study it like he tells us to, not being ashamed. You will see many, many times where Jesus is being pointed as the Son of God. God can't send himself to hang on the cross. And God is God, the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth. So if anyone would like to take notes for direct future truths on this subject matter, then we'll be in the right place, the Word of God, period. Okay? So for you note takers, we'll be looking at five reasons that Jesus is not God, no matter what man and religious say about this subject. And let me tell you, they say a lot. And it's a sad commentary when we're talking about the very creator of the heavens and the earth, and the very Son who gave himself for our sake, okay? It's funny how people know who made a fantastic painting, and they know where he lived, what he did, and they don't mistake him for that person, let's say Van Gogh, for Van Gogh's son or daughter. No, they know that's Van Gogh. His son is his son. But yet when it comes to the most important thing in our lives, God and Jesus Christ, they put them together. Some places you'll find they'll call it the Trinity, but it's just not that way, and we're going to see that. Reason number one, this is the first reason, is so that no one else, the first reason is so that no one has, I should say, ever seen God. No one. But many have seen Jesus because God is spirit. He tells us that in his word. So if you're going to say God is Jesus, he is God, at least have two live human beings. Oh, they look alike, so they must be the same. They've never seen God, yet they've seen Jesus many, many times. So let's start off by going to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy, as I go there. And when you get to 1 Timothy, this will be out of the NLT, for those of you who are wondering. When you get to 1 Timothy, go to chapter 6. And we're going to pick up this record in verse 13. And it says, and I charge you before who? God, who gives life to all, and before Jesus Christ, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering, then no one can find fault with you from now until the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, comes again. Verse 15, for at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And verse 16, he alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Okay? There's a word used here in the King James in verse 15. It's potentate. What that simply means is all-powerful ruler, for those of you who are curious. So now we're going to go to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first part of verse 12, or like we like to say 12a. 1 John 4:12, it says, no man hath seen God at any time. What does that mean? They've never seen him ever, right? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and so on and so forth. But the first part of that verse simply says that no one has seen God at any time. Has anyone seen Jesus Christ at any time? Many times. Many times. Including the Father, okay, just for the record. So we can see that God is spirit, no pun intended. With Jesus, there are crowds who witnessed Jesus performing miracles and his preaching and shared conversations with him. Wow, that must have been something, to talk to the perfect man and get his insight and solutions. Reason number two. Secondly, God is omniscient, but Jesus Christ did not know everything. Somebody would say that's blasphemy or that you can't. It's not. It's just the facts. Okay? The facts for God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. God knows everything. He's demonstrated that to us in our lives when we go to him. Okay? Yes, Jesus is sitting up there speaking on our behalf. But who is he speaking to? Himself? No. God, the omniscient. He, Jesus, could see into people's hearts. He was good at that. And motives. And knew the Word of God intimately, like we should. But did not know the date of his return. Who knows that? God. God. Look at Mark 13, please. And in Mark 13, drop down to verse 32. This is Jesus speaking here. Mark 13, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but who? The Father. The Father. Some people say, the angels don't know that, but they're right up there with him. And verse 33, take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. But it's coming. But it's coming with all the surety. Go to Isaiah 46, please. Ecclesiastes, Songs of Songs, Isaiah and chapter 46. And we're going to look at verse 9. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. Now, if God was Jesus and Jesus God, God would say, for I am God, and sometimes I'm Jesus. But it don't. And there is none like me. Not like us. Not like us. Like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Praise God. Praise God. Here he questions Job. So go to Job 37, please. The book of Job, chapter 37, and let's look at verse 16, Job 37, 16. Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds and wonders and the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Who is perfect in knowledge? We just saw that. God. Now, I don't know how on earth you can balance clouds, because they're moving, they're, but it's just, something that points to the wisdom of God. He's so infinite with wisdom that even the things that you would never even think of getting just right or creating, God does, and He knows. And since God is perfect in knowledge, then there is nothing that God does not know. Period. Nothing. Okay. Reason number three is God cannot be tempted to sin. But Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted throughout His life, even being tempted within the 40 days in the wilderness, and right up to the temptation of coming down from the cross. Why did he not do that? Because He was fulfilling His Father's will. And we have to be so thankful that He didn't. Can you imagine if we're getting ready to say, this is where I end it. I've done enough. Nope. Not my will be done, but Yours. Speaking to God. Not the same person, speaking to God. It's also important to realize that Jesus is not giving into temptation, makes His determination real, not to give in to sin and defeat that desire. He did that over and over and over again. I don't think the Bible has all the temptations He endured, but they have enough for us to realize how perfect He was. It's something for you and I to rise up to. I try to do that every day because we all get tempted. Some temptations we won't even discuss openly, but still they're there. But we all do. We all do. That's the world we live in. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world trying to tempt you. Back to God and temptation. Go to James 1, please. James 1. And look at verse 13. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. That's the world's job. What God does is He pulls us out of those temptations because we focus on Him. We focus on who we are. And Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, gave us examples time and time again. It's not impossible. It's not. And now Jesus shows they're not the same. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, and drop down to verse 14. And now Jesus shows they're not the same. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the what? Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, or what we believe. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So why did He have to die? He became our sin offering. Again, Jesus, not God. Reason number four. God didn't pray to anyone. But Jesus prayed to God. Like in Matthew 11. Please go there. This will be out of the NLT. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank You for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Can you see how that would be hard to go back and forth? God one minute, Jesus the next minute, and revealing that, no. It's stated clearly. After Jesus had been raised from the dead, here in the Gospel of John is where He is speaking to Mary. So please go to John chapter 20. John 20. And when you get there, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, speaking of Mary, touch me not, don't touch me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. If you can't figure out one is not the other with that alone, your comprehension is out of whack. Maybe that should be your prayer. I am not ascended to my Father. It doesn't say, I am not ascended to myself. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Isn't that really sweet? Jesus includes them in the family by saying what he said. He didn't have to say those last words, but he did. Also, look at Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. All praise to who? God. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, the final reason when Jesus was accused of making out that he was God, he denied it. He denied it with surety. He was and I'm speaking for Jesus, so forgive me, Father. Jesus is probably saying, what is wrong with these people? Do they not see I'm talking about my Father, who can be their Father, if they weren't knuckleheads? Here we find a part of the record where Jesus was speaking to the Jews. So please turn to John chapter 5. This will be out of the NLT also. Reason number 5. John 5. Go to verse 18. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father. If there was a parenthetical next to that verse, I would put rightly so. Thereby making him self equal with God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. And that's all he knew how to do, is speak the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. It doesn't say he does only what he sees himself doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he, God, is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. And verse 22, in addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge. A few chapters later, Jesus is making the difference between himself and God. So in conclusion, as we find and see by reading the Holy Scriptures, Jesus is not God. And like Jesus, we too are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen and amen. There are many other places that speak on this important reality. We can understand how man's lack of understanding can cause confusion, not being able to see God, man automatically combines the two. But when we study the scriptures, our eyes can be opened, and they will. So I think that's one of the things that attributes people calling them the same, because they cannot see God. And so right away they said, yeah, but in the Bible it says the Word became flesh, and other places. No, no, no. So how about opening up the Bible and studying to see the reality of the difference between the two? The Almighty Creator and the only begotten Son. And just like Him, we're sons and daughters of God too. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank You for all the clarity You show us in Your Word, how You are the one true God, the Father of Jesus Christ and ourselves, that we never get that mixed up, Father, because You have things to share with us that we can do as Your sons and daughters, just like Jesus did when He was here on earth, as He is now seated at Your right hand in the place of honor. Father, help us to help others who are confused with this, because it's a big deal, and it makes a huge difference in their prayer life and in their understanding the Scriptures. And so, Father, we thank You again for laying it out plain and simple so that we can know who we're praying to, so that we can know who is the very Creator, and so that we can know by whose examples we are to follow. And all of this, Father, causes us to always thank You and praise You and give You the glory. In Your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.